I hope you've enjoyed this series on grace so far. What I hope it's doing in your life is it's moving you from thinking about a list of things you must do in order to please God to a realisation that God has given you everything for free, and because of that, you can give back to God what He so freely gave to you. I was once talking to someone who was feeling very oppressed by their workload. They felt that they just kept on having to do more stuff and do more stuff and do more stuff. And I just said to them, I said, it's the difference between a march and a dance. Both of them expend the same amount of energy, but one of them feels a lot more hard work than the other one. And I hope that as this series on grace unfolds, you're moving your life from a feeling of a march, I've got to do this, I've got to do this, and keep on going forward, to a sense of a dance, that actually it's quite good fun. That actually our end goal has been accomplished, but what we have we can give back to God because of the grace that He's given to us already. It's moving from a march to a dance. So far we looked at grace that brings reconciliation. That was the first one we saw in our series. And we saw how often when we have an argument, someone needs to take a deep breath and apologise. In order to bring reconciliation, there needs to be some kind of sacrifice. But God did that. As we remembered, as we took the bread and the wine, symbolising the blood and the body, Jesus took that sacrifice to bring reconciliation between us and God. There is now no separation. We are welcomed into the courts. Then we looked at grace that brings freedom last week. We saw that we're not slaves to anything anymore, but God has brought you freedom. And today we're going to be looking at the grace that brings forgiveness. The grace that brings forgiveness. Was it Yom Kippur yesterday? Was it? Oh, it's good, isn't it? When things tie together. I'm speaking about that this morning. I would love to say that that was my careful planning and in-depth knowledge of the Jewish calendar, but it's not. It really isn't, but, well, maybe this sermon will go better than I thought it was going to. Excellent. It's clearly timely. We're looking at this wonderful passage in Romans 8. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We all know that we mess up. This week in Alpha, there was the talk, why did Jesus die? And I've got to admit, I mess up regularly. I frequently get angry too often. I get shirty, I get grumpy. There are times when, although I don't lie, I may not quite tell the whole truth in order to put myself off in a slightly better light. There are times when I am far too selfish and put myself first at the expense of others. I know I am the wretched man of chapter 7. And no matter what taint you put on it, all of us know that deep down we're not quite with God where we might want to be. That our sin messes us up. It messes the people around us up. It has consequences for us. The Israelites knew this. So this isn't a new concept. This goes back thousands of years. And the way the Israelites used to deal with it was explained in Leviticus chapter 16. I'm going to read a little bit to you now. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Aaron, the high priest, is to offer the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. Then he is to take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. He's to cast lots of the two goats, one for the Lord, the other will be a scapegoat. Aaron shall bring the goat whose lot falls to the Lord and sacrifice it. But the goat chosen as a scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to be used for making atonement by sending it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. The Jewish people knew that they messed up and they needed to be made right with God. So the way that they did it was they got a high priest, and we have a photograph of a high priest there, and they got some goats. Their logic was, let's just deal with it all on one day. So one day of the year, we're going to take all of our collective sin. The times that you've been selfish and the times that I've lied, the times that you've taken too much at the market and changed your scales, the times that you have been lustful. We're going to take all of that and we're going to deal with it on one day, the Day of Atonement. And if we get it right on that day, we will be sorted before God for another year. So, Aaron comes along. He's the one dressed in the blue and the turban. He comes along. Now, first of all, We have to make sure, if we as a people are relying on one guy to sort out our sin, we're making sure that he's okay. So, Aaron has to sacrifice a bull for his own personal sin. I feel that makes sense. If all of us are going to decide we're going to deal with all of our rubbish on one day and one person is responsible for it, we are making sure that we trust that person. We are making sure that that person has got their stuff together. So, that person will have to sacrifice, Aaron has to sacrifice a bull for his own sin and his own household. They took this quite seriously. So, there was a tradition that the high priest, the day before he was going to sacrifice the bull, he wasn't allowed to sleep. And it would be someone's job to keep poking him to stop him sleeping in case he had some dreams in the night that would defile him before God. That is how seriously they took this stuff. Because this one guy has got one shot to deal with our sin for the year. We are making sure that he's all right with God. He would have a sacrifice that deals with his sin. And then it's time to bring on the goats. So there were two goats. They separated the goats. One of them was sacrificed, one of them was a scapegoat. Before this whole process took place, you can see the stuff that the high priest would have to wear. They were sacred garments. They were used once a year. Just to give you some context, in Jesus' day, for the Romans to keep the Israelites under their thumb, the Romans kept the garments. So every time the Jewish people wanted to do this, to deal with their sin before God, they had to go to a Roman Gentile palace to get the garments. That's how serious it was for them. The Romans knew that was one way of oppressing the Jewish people in Jesus' day. So, he puts on these special garments and he goes to the tabernacle. The tabernacle was an impressive building. So, here's a model of it. They reckon that that could hold 210,000 worshippers. 210,000. That is a lot of people. I was in Wembley a few weeks ago and that can't hold that many people. And there are a lot of people in Wembley. 210,000 worshippers. The tabernacle and the temple area was designed to reflect the stars. There were bits of it that were designed to reflect the cosmos. Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote that every part of the tabernacle recalls the entire universe. There's something that goes on in this temple that is meant to reflect not just what happens to us as people, but is also meant to reflect what is happening across the entire universe. So this temple is a representation not just of the Jewish people, it is a representation of the universe. We're all involved in this. What happens at the tabernacle affects all of us. The tabernacle is a foretaste of something that is going to affect the entire universe. You see, God wants to dwell with us. God wants to be near us. But we've got to be clean. We've got to be clean. We need our representatives to be clean. We need us to be clean. God needs to dwell with us, but we need to be clean. So every year we're going to wheel out some more goats. As I said, there are two goats. One of them, I don't know which one's the lucky one really, like one of them gets sacrificed and the other one has the sins of the nation put upon it. So, well, I don't know, pays your money, takes your choice. But one goat is offered on the altar and the other one is the scapegoat, Azazel. And that is sent into the desert. So the high priest lays its hands on this goat. And all of the rubbish of the nation gets placed on this goat, and this goat is sent out into the desert. As you can imagine, given that the sins of the people are now placed on this goat, you need to be very careful what happens to it. You don't want in a week's time it turning up in your back garden. Because this goat has taken everything rubbish that's happened in your entire nation on itself. They used to get a Gentile. So the Jewish people couldn't be associated with this goat. So they found a Gentile. And the Gentile would take the goat, because they don't want anything to do with it. And the Gentile would take it deep into the desert. Some stories had that it was pushed off a cliff. Some stories had that it was taken and then tied up. It was taken a long way away. Now, as they placed their hands on the goat before it's taken away, they got a red cord and they put it on the head of a goat. Now, you won't find this in the Old Testament. You can find allusions to it. But I think you find it in the Midrash. I think that's right, which is, yeah, is that right? Which is kind of ancient Jewish history. And they put this red cord on the head of the goat. And then the red cord would, the red cord was dipped in the blood of the one that was sacrificed. And then it was placed on the altar all year. And the idea was that people would see this red cord throughout the year. And the story goes that throughout the year, the red cord would change from red to white. So, we've got two goats. One of them sacrificed. This cord is dipped in its blood. It's placed on the altar to remind us that we've been dealt, that our sins have been dealt with. The cord changes from red to white. The other one, the sins are placed on it, and a Gentile leads it out into the desert. It's not in the Bible, the bit about the cord, but you do catch it. Though our sins are scarlet, you washed it white as snow. Though our sins are scarlet, you washed it white as snow. Isaiah isn't just making this up out of nowhere. There's an image. There's something that's happened. There's something that he's seen that demonstrates the fact that the sins were scarlet and now they've been washed white as snow. As you can imagine, if we can have the next one, Beth, this was the game. We need a lot of goats. There's a problem, isn't there? That every year, we've got to find some goats. Every year, we've got to keep on doing this. It says in Hebrews, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices, repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Otherwise, would they not have stopped being offered? Couldn't we have just done a few goats and that be it? But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of the felt guilty for the sins. For those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. This event was incredible. I just want you to put yourself in a mind's eye. 210,000 people. The high priest dressed in all his splendour. A goat being sacrificed. Another one, the high priest puts his hand on it and the goat is led out by a Gentile into the wilderness. They're dipping stuff into the blood and hanging it up. And over the next year, it's going to miraculously turn white. One of the Jewish historians at the time said that you could not go to one of these events without being changed spiritually. This event was so incredible that you went to it, but you came away feeling completely different. You can go to religious events with thousands and thousands of people. You can get caught up in the people at the front with all their regalia. You can get caught up in the feeling of thousands of people and the religious rituals. And you can leave changed. And that is a special and sacred thing. But let me tell you this. You always need more goats. If we think that the religious actions are going to deal with our sin, then every year we're going to have to find more goats to deal with it. Every year we're going to have to find more sacrifices. We're going to have to put our sin on another goat and carry it out. If we think that religious activity is going to put us right with God, we need to find an awful lot more goats. Says this in Hebrews, day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But when this priest Jesus had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. John 19, verse 14. Jesus is standing before the crowd. And Pilate says, what shall I do with this man? And all of them reply, crucifying. Well, before they say something else. And Pilate stands before the crowd and says, this is your Jesus, what shall I do with him? And they shout, take him away. Crucify him. Jesus is our Azazel. Take him away.
What kind of person had to take the goat away in order to take it into the desert? A Gentile, because the Jews wouldn't do it. And what people bound Jesus and lead him down the Via Dolorosa to the cross? It's the Gentiles. It's the Romans. Take him away and crucify him. And what do they do with Jesus? They take him outside of the city. And there he hangs. Jesus is our scapegoat. Jesus is the one on which we can put all of our sin and we can do it once and for all. We can take all of our rubbish and we don't need more goats next year because Jesus deals with it once and for all. And so Jesus takes all of the sin and the Gentiles lead him outside of the city and it is dealt with. In Leviticus it says this, Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and after he's done the sacrifice, Aaron will take off the linen garments that he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. He shall bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area and put on his regular garments. So once the priest in the Old Testament has dealt with the sin, he takes off his linen garments and he leaves them there, and then he goes and he bathes. And Jesus, when we read in John 20, what do they find at the tomb? Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in place, separate from the linen. Our Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he left the linen garments there. It wasn't just an oversight. The gospel writers write that in for a reason. Why do they write it? Because they know that when the high priest has dealt with the sin, they take off their garments, they leave them there, and then they leave. So when we read that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he leaves his garments in the tomb, that's not just some added oversight that the gospel writers think, oh, that's an interesting deal, I will write it down. No, why do they write that there? Because you need to know that your sins have been dealt with. You need to know that the high priest has done it. In the words of Rob Bell, you need to know that the goat has left the building. That you no longer need to carry around that sin anymore because you can have put it on our Azazel, our Jesus, and he took it with him. This is why Paul can write in Romans 8, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of sin who's given us life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but we live according to the Spirit. Because the law never does it. The law never satisfies it. Because you always need more goats. Every year we always think that we need one more goat. If only we do this, then we'll be right with God. If only we sacrifice this time, then we'll be right with. If only we go to one more meeting or hear one more sermon. If only we pray one more prayer. If only we could just do this one more. Then we will be right with God. And God says, the goat's left the building. It is dealt with. God says, I left the linen garments in the tomb for a reason, because I took it all on myself. The Gentiles led me out. They sacrificed me. I was led out of the city. And I took your sin as I went. Though our sins are scarlet, he washed them white as snow. You don't need to carry that rubbish around with you anymore. You don't need to. Jesus took it. Whether that was stuff that you've done, whether that was stuff people did to you, you don't need to carry it around anymore. Because Jesus took it. And you can live in the knowledge that you are forgiven, that your sins have been dealt with, that God has taken them as far as the east is from the west, that though our sins are scarlet, he has washed them white as snow. Let's pray. God, I pray that now you would be lifting weights off people's shoulders. that they would know that they don't have to carry this stuff around with them anymore. We thank you for your cross. And this morning we receive your forgiveness. We don't receive it lightly. We know how much it cost you. But we thank you that to us, God, it is free. I pray that this week we would not carry around the stuff from our past that we don't need to carry around anymore. That we can leave it where it belongs and we can live a new life in the Spirit to which you've called us. We thank you that you have washed us, you have cleansed us, you have forgiven us, and that you have welcomed as your clean children because of what you did for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.